very, as I said, blessed time, certainly to us, the Maronites, and to the Catholic Church in the Middle East and to Lebanon as a nation, because the Maronite patriarch standing is quite unique in the area, and he's considered like a, not only a religious leader, but also a national leader as well. So he is kind of a symbol of unification to the whole population. And I think at the Consistorio, we had a representation of all Lebanon's communities, religious communities, and political factions, which is really important to be able to unite the whole country in his person.
Now, you've called this a blessed time, but at the same time, you're coming from a pretty dramatic situation in Lebanon. Can you give me the latest update of how many refugees are you seeing coming across the borders from Syria?
Well, the bleeding continues and the hemorrhage continues in Syria, and people continue to flee the country. It seems like the war is ravaging the whole country, I don't know, especially main cities. And in Lebanon so far, those who are officially registered with the UNHCR are over 125,000 persons. But those who are in Lebanon unofficially, certainly the numbers exceed the 200,000.
200,000 already.
It exceeds that by far. Because you have so many different categories who are unaccounted for in Lebanon, especially within the migrant Syrian population who used to work in Lebanon. We had like around 300,000 Syrian workers. A simple calculation could show you the numbers. You need. So you say 10 to 15% only of those people brought their families along, with the average of 5-6 members per family. That's in thousands, in tens of thousands. So it's been very, very difficult. It's getting extremely difficult. I think we are afraid, we have the fear of the worst to come. What will happen next, nobody knows. We look into the horizon, we see no end to the war. We don't know, really. Nobody knows what to do. We're getting by day by day. We're trying to reach out and help the refugees as much as possible. Our partners are standing by us, but also within limited means, which means, and now it's a very difficult time. It's the rainy and cold season in Lebanon, especially in the Bekaa and in the north specifically. It gets very cold.
Now, these are the areas in the north and in the Bekaa Valley where you're seeing the biggest influx of refugees?
It is. They are the closest to the borders. So that's why it's the largest influx is there. And we estimate to have in the Bekaa Valley only around close to 75 to 80,000 people. And in the north, about 40 to 50,000. These are the official numbers.
And, of course, most of these people we're seeing coming over are women and children.
Around 70%.
And how are you able, or how are the Lebanese authorities or UNHCR, how are they able to meet the needs of especially of the children? I'm thinking of child protection, but I'm also thinking about schooling. These are families who probably would like their kids to have some sort of normalcy in their lives.
Well, normalcy, they are from there, far from there, and they will be for a while far from that, whatever you do, to be realistic. In terms of schooling, there is a small proportion, around 10,000 kids are being, you know, schooled now. They go to public schools. Some schools have given them like after school
activities.
School after school, because there is no places in the buildings.
Oh, I see. They're having lessons after the normal school hours.
Yes, after the normal school hours for the Lebanese, they have school hours for the Syrians, 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon. Some of them, wherever possible, they are integrated within. But the difficulty is that the Syrian curriculum is quite different than the Lebanese, which makes it much harder on them to learn. Certainly, you have the category of the wealthy people, Syrian people, who place their children in private schools. They have no problem. But the common people, the poor people, who send them to, it's difficult. But I still see the vast majority are not being schooled. That's why we are looking now into possible ways. If we could, we're trying to develop a program in that respect, at least in one area. And we hope we'll be able to do. Now, the UNICEF has mandated us, as Caritas Lebanon, to work to provide for 20,000 Syrian children to provide school materials. We are doing so in the Bekaa, in the north, in the south, in the whole Lebanon. But only providing school materials. It's not providing schooling. You see what I mean? So now we are looking into developing a special program for that. We hope we'll be successful. I could say it's been very difficult. Well, at least within the camps that the people have put up, many children do not go to school. And the camps are quite far from school. Actually, if they want to go to a public school, the nearest one is like 20 to 25 minutes driving, which means lots of transportation expenses that they don't have. They cannot afford.
You know, you and I last saw each other in September when yes. I was there for Pope Benedict's visit to mm-hmm. Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And you look very dejected and down compared. Obviously, there was a lot of euphoria surrounding Pope Benedict's visit to Lebanon. But I see a very different Father Simon Fadul sitting in front of me today
yeah.
than September.
Talking about this specific topic, unfortunately, I couldn't be but that. Although certainly we do have keep, you know, the hopes up and the spirits up, and especially when we are around refugees, we try to keep their spirits up, and so, but it looks glim, and the more you look at it, it's dimmer. Because there is no end in the horizon. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And politically, and now with the Syrian situation is in flame, and then last week it was Israel and the Palestinians in flame, and then in Lebanon we are facing lots of unemployment and economic, a very critical economic crisis, and, you know, political instability, stuff like that. So all together, and we as Caritas Lebanon, our mission is to watch over the less fortunate, the neediest. It's getting so hard. And we've been reaching out to our partners throughout the world. They have been really helping us a great deal, but still, you know, because of the turmoils and the extent of the problems, we haven't been able to provide the necessary, what we think is necessary. And that's why I look with much anxiety at this situation. And we pray that really a close end will be around the corner so that people could return home and the crisis could be really reduced.
If listeners to this program would like to do something to help, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they get in touch first via Caritas Internationalis in Rome here at Palazzo San Calisto, or directly they can access our website caritas.org.lb and can see what we do, and they can have all the corresponding means, whether it's to correspond with us or to donate or to wire transfer through a bank account or whatever, or to ask questions or to get latest information, you know. So this is about it.
You were mentioning it's a time of great economic crisis in Lebanon. It is around the world, but you have the added drama of what's happening on your doorstep. You also have some 300,000 Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. Perhaps even more than that.
More than 500,000. They have been, Palestinian camps have been in Lebanon since 1948. That was the first wave, then the second wave in 67. So you have Palestinian camps all over the place, and you have over 500,000 Palestinians.
And so many of them are unemployed
exactly.
as well. So this is really causing a really added heavy burden to the country right now. Are you afraid that something might get out of hand, that we might see a renewal of some of the conflict that Lebanon itself
We certainly hope not and pray not. But would that be a probable possibility? I would say we live in a world of possibles, probabilities. But it's going to be far-fetched because at the moment it's not to the benefit of any party in Lebanon, any political party or group, to have another war erupting there, certainly not. But the Syrian situation is affecting us a great deal, whether we like it or not, at all levels. And then, mind you, Syria is the only way for Lebanon to export its products towards the Arab world, you know, by land. Otherwise, we have to go by sea and or by plane. And now it's winter time, and it's also already a much, much more expensive way. So you have so many Lebanese products and farmers who cannot really export their produces or their products, the industrials. So it's also it's adding up to the problem.
Yet you said here in Rome during the consistory we saw a big contingent of politicians, people from all the different political factions in Lebanon present for the consistory to see Patriarch Rai raised to be cardinal. A sign of respect, also a sign of hope that people, even after, perhaps especially after Pope Benedict's visit to Lebanon, it gave people this a renewed sense of hope that maybe the country can pull together, everyone can in some way pull together and be more unified.
That is true. Undoubtedly, the intentions are good. And everybody tells you that their intention is to build bridges and to get closer. And however, actions do not speak as loud, at least on the political front. We do hope they start really matching, you know, intents with actions and then getting closer to a reconciliatory process rather than growing apart as they are at the moment. Now, certainly, the current crisis in the Middle East, especially the Syrian one, is affecting this a great deal and is really making the different political parties go more distant than one another and opening up new plights, new wounds, you know, and old wounds, stuff like this. But we hope really, and this is why I said at the beginning, the consistorio and this event has brought people together. And certainly our patriarch has a major role to play, not only as a religious leader, but also as a national leader. Not a political leader, but national leader, yes. And I do hope this time he will profit from the momentum he's got at the moment, at present time. If he could really benefit from this momentum, maybe he could bring all parties closer together, at least beginning with the Christian parties, at least.
Which are so divided.
Yes, because this could bring the others also closer, because I think the Christians have a very major and instrumental role to play here, and it's about time they realize that in the area, in the Middle East, they are not just watchers or passersby. They are really, they have a very major role to play, which is a role of constructive role of bridge builder among different conflicting parties so that they'll be instruments of peace, of true peace.
Okay. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
There's one thing I'd like to ask you, though, if we can squeeze it in, regarding anyone who would like to contribute in some way to Caritas. Where are your greatest needs at this moment?
At this moment, we have two greatest needs. The first one is for the refugees, for the Syrian refugees specifically. And the second one is for the poorest of Lebanon, because the poor are getting poorer. And we have really, in terms of a humanitarian aid, assistance, we have a shortage. We have a serious problem in that respect, you know, because what we are getting on in terms of funding for projects and stuff, it's more for a specific project, targeted projects, whether it's development or human rights or advocacy. These are funded by different parties. But the humanitarian side, really, we are having hard times providing for these people.
When you say the poor are getting poorer, how and why?
At the moment, you have about 30% of the Lebanese population.
One-third
of the Lebanese population is under the poverty level. And this is not just a fiction. It's a real numbers. 52% of the Lebanese population are not covered by any medical insurance or any medical coverage of any kind. Unless you have some strings to pull within the government, you cannot be covered by the Ministry of Health. And the social security system is limited to those who are employed, to the employees. And once they go on pension after 64, they lose the social security. It's not like the rest of the world. You see what I mean? There is no pension. One of our major challenges is to provide for the third age, for the elderly in Lebanon. You know, we have 7 daycare centers so that we could provide them with a hot meal a day, or to have a nurse check on their blood pressure. As simple as these things. Unfortunately, I'm saying this with much pain in my heart, but this is it.
Okay. Was that me or you?
No.
Okay. It sounds like a dramatic situation.
It is. That's why I say these are our two most needed, really, targets, you know. We have to target them specifically, the Syrian refugees and the poor class of Lebanon.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Father.